All right, don't forget about that. Haggai chapter number 1 is where we're going to be this morning. And, I'm going to, just a second, I'm going to bring up a map. But before I do that, I want to review quickly about the book of Haggai, what it's all about. A remnant of 42,000 Jewish people were allowed by the king of Persia to go back to Jerusalem, where they were from. They were in Babylon. They had been taken into captivity as captives, as slaves, to Babylon. They'd been taken there back when the Babylonians came in there and they destroyed Jerusalem. And if you look at a map up here on the screen, you'll notice right here is Babylon. Okay, right here on the Euphrates River. See the Euphrates River here? Here's Babylon. And these people were taken from Jerusalem and they were taken captives to Babylon. The Babylonians came in, sacked and destroyed the city, took a bunch of these people as captives back over here to Babylon. Now for years they had made a new life. They built homes there. They had a lot of stuff. But the king of Persia said, anybody who wants to go back to Jerusalem can go. And you can go for the purpose of rebuilding God's house, the temple. The temple was a symbol of the power and the presence of God for God's people. Now if you look up here at the next picture, that's a kind of an artist rendering of what Solomon's temple would have looked like. This building was sacked and burned to the ground and destroyed by the Babylonians. So now they've said a group of you can go back and you can go back to rebuild this building right here, God's house, a symbol of the power and the presence of God. Well, those people traveled from Babylon all the way to Jerusalem. For 2 years they worked on that building. And they had laid part of the foundation of the building, but after 2 years, does anybody remember last week? What did they do after 2 years? They quit. They said, well, the time has not come to build the Lord's house. They just quit working. Now, listen, for 16 years, they had not done any work on that building. Now, you know what we found out last week? During that 16-year period, they had built beautiful homes for themselves. But they had quit working here on God's house. They had built beautiful homes for themselves, but they had quit working on the house of God because they had become self-absorbed. So they're living in these beautiful homes while God's house just lied there in shambles. It was laid waste. 16 years. They said, the time has not come. Maybe next year we'll get to it. But the time has just not come. Well, God raised up a prophet by the name of, what's his name? Haggai. And God gave Haggai his word to take to these people to kind of reignite the fervor of these people to complete this building that they had started. And so Haggai comes along and he calls these people to a renewed courage and a holiness and a faith in God. And you remember last week what he told them? He said, hey folks, you need to consider your ways. Consider your ways. Consider the road that you're on and you need to change course. The people had been struggling for 16 years. They had been struggling because the blessing of God was not on their lives. And Haggai's message was really, really simple. No temple, no blessings. As long as you continue to ignore that, you continue to ignore why you came here, as long as you continue to ignore God's house and God's work, just understand you can do that, but no temple, no blessings. Well, today, is there a building that's the temple of God? Yes or no? No. Today there is no building that is the temple of God. Okay, this building right here is not the temple of God. Okay, when we all leave the building this morning and it sits here empty, it's not like God's presence stays in the building and kind of hovers around mysteriously in the building. No, listen, my friend, there's no building that's the temple of God today. Now, here's what the Bible teaches for today. If we have trusted Christ as our personal Savior, if Christ has saved us, then His Holy Spirit has come to live inside of us. And guess what? We're the temple of God today. Why? Because His presence lives inside of us. And God's dealings are different with mankind today than they were back here in Haggai's day. Now today we don't labor to get God's physical material blessings as Israel did in the Old Testament. They were under an Old Testament covenant that was very specific. And here's what it basically said. God said, if you do these things I tell you to do, and you don't forget me, then God says, I want you to know that I will bless the labor of your hands. But if you don't do these things I've told you in this covenant, then my blessings will be absent. I'm not going to bless your fruit. I'm not going to bless your labor. I'm not going to bless your crops. I'm not going to, if you don't honor me and if you don't keep my covenant that I made with you, then I'm not going to honor you and my blessings are going to be absent from your life. Now, today, it's different. Today, God is offering blessings. Okay? But what kind of blessings is God offering today? I want you to look at the top of your handout and I want to show you. God's offering blessings to every person in the world today. And He's offering them through the merits of His Son, Jesus Christ. But what kind of blessings is He offering people? Look in your handout. Ephesians 1:3. It says here, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, He's writing to Christians, who hath blessed us. He's already blessed us. What's He blessed us with? He's blessed us with all what? Spiritual blessings, not physical, material. Okay? He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And where are they located? In heavenly places in Christ. So, let me ask you a question this morning. How would you like for God to bless you with all the spiritual blessings that He has, and you know that one day when you die and you leave this earth, you're going to have all of God's spiritual blessings that you're going to enjoy in heaven forever? How's that sound? That was a little weak. And I tell you something, folks, it's a lot better than the alternative. Amen? Yeah, here's the deal. God today is offering spiritual blessings to everybody in the world. And He's offering you a home in heaven, complete forgiveness of your sins, and all spiritual blessings up there in heavenly places. But the question is, how do we lay hold on those spiritual blessings of the heart and soul from God Almighty? How do we get those blessings? Well, there's three principles I want to draw from this text and apply them to our life. Number one is this. First of all, you must hear God's Word. You got to hear God's Word if you're going to get those blessings. Okay? You must hear God's Word. Now, God raised up a man by the name of Haggai. And He gave Haggai His Word to take to these people. I want you to take your Bible now and look with me at verse 2. Okay, look at Haggai chapter 1, verse 2. It says, thus speaketh who? Yeah, but who's talking? Well, Haggai is actually physically talking, but who is he the spokesman for? Yeah, the Lord of hosts. Now look down at verse number 3. Then came the word of the Lord, but notice, how did God give these people His word? He gave it by who? By Haggai the prophet. Yeah, look down at verse 5. Now therefore, thus, say it with me, thus saith the Lord of hosts. Was God talking to these people, yes or no? Yeah, He was doing it through who? Through Haggai. Look down at verse number 12. It says, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, notice this, obeyed the voice of who? The Lord their God, but notice the words of Haggai the prophet. You see that? As the Lord their God had sent him. Look down at verse 13. Then spake Haggai. Notice who he was. Haggai was the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. So they had to recognize that, look, Haggai is speaking, but he's representing the voice of the Lord. He brought them God's Word. Now, what if this man, Haggai, had not brought this remnant, the Word of God? Then you know what would have happened? These people would have continued in their sinful, spiritually apathetic state. There would have been no change in their life. Then the blessings of God would have been absent from their lives. But God graciously gave them His Word. Now, let's make application to that. Did you know that God has given us, in 2008, did you know He's given us His Word today? Did you know that just as God raised up a spokesman named Haggai in that day, that God raised up a spokesman to talk to the church today, and that spokesman that God raised up was the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul gave us 13 books in this Bible that are written directly to us, Gentiles, living today in this church age. God raised up a spokesman named the Apostle Paul, and Paul said that by revelation of Jesus Christ, he said, I received the gospel, the good news that I gave to you. And then he recorded it right here in black and white in the Bible for us to be able to read. Do you know what God revealed to Paul? The good news? It was the good news of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. You see, God revealed to Paul the full extent of what Jesus Christ did on that cross when He hung on that cross. I want you to look up at the screen. I'm going to give you an example. Look at Romans chapter 5. Now follow the words. God commendeth, or He showed His love toward us. You say, boy, does God love me? I just don't know if God could love me. Hey, I can already answer that for you. I don't even have to know you. And I can already tell you God loves you. You say, how do you know? Look at the verse. God already showed He loved you. God showed His love toward us. He commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, what happened? So does God love you? How do you know God loves you? Because Christ died for you. And then it says, much more then, being now justified or made right with God, how am I made right with God? By His blood that He shed on the cross. We shall be saved from wrath, God's wrath. How? Through Him, through Christ. Look at the next verse. It says, for if when we were enemies of God, we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Notice how everything hinges on the cross. So then much more being reconciled, we know we're going to be saved. We're going to be delivered from this body of death. How? By His life, through His resurrection. Does God love you? How do you know? Does God have to give you a new house to show you He loves you? Does He got to give you a new car? Does He got to give you a raise at work? No, God doesn't have to do any of that to show He loves you. You know what? God already fully demonstrated how much He loves you by Jesus Christ dying on the cross for you. The Bible says, if you'll look at the screen, 2 Corinthians 5, for He, God, hath made Him, Christ, to be sin for us. On the cross, He was made sin for us. He didn't deserve it. Why? Because the Bible says He knew no sin. But yet He became sin for us. God poured out His wrath on sin there on His Son on the cross. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Paul calls that my gospel because God revealed it to Paul and then Paul revealed it to us. Did you know that nobody can be saved? Did you know that nobody can receive full forgiveness of their sins until they first hear the good news of what Christ has done for them? In your handout is a passage. I want you to, everybody look in your handout at Romans 10, verses 13 and 14. Okay, everybody say verse 13 there with me, that first verse. Let's say it together. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that great? Wait a minute though, look at the next verse. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? In other words, if they haven't believed in Christ and what He did on the cross, how are they going to? Why would they call on Him if they haven't believed in Him? But wait a minute, look at the next phrase. But how are they going to believe in Him of whom they have not what? Heard. And how shall they hear without a preacher? So then, faith, saving faith, comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Isn't that good? The other night, last night, we came back from a banquet and we came in the door there and I went over to the stove and Denise had made a pan of chocolate chip brownies. And I cut me a big hunk of that. And I got me a piece of it. And I walked into the family room to say hi to the boys. And my 11-year-old, who'd been there all night, okay, he'd been there for 3 hours, okay, and they'd been sitting there the whole time, he looked at me and said, "Where'd you get that brownie?" I said, "Well, they've been in here the whole time." He said, "Nobody told me." Now, you know what? He didn't hear the good news of those brownies. And because he didn't hear the good news of the brownies, he hadn't laid hold on them. Because had he heard them, I probably wouldn't have got a piece. Amen. But you know what my point is, church? We have a mission, don't we? And that's to take God's Word to the people of this world. Because they're never going to know the spiritual blessings that God has for them in heaven until they first hear the message of God's Word. Got to hear it. Got to hear it. Before you were saved, in order to get saved, you had to hear it, right? Okay, number two, though, the second thing is this. How do I get those heavenly blessings? Number two, you must believe God's Word. Now, again, we look here at our text. Haggai brings these people God's Word. They hear it. How'd they respond? Did they scoff at it? Did they laugh? Did they mock? Did they blow off Haggai? He's a spiritual nut. Did they say, "Man, who does this Haggai think he is coming to us with the Word of the Lord? Why, he's some kind of a spiritual nut." No, how did they respond? Look at the end of verse 12. It'll give you a key here. Look at the end of verse 12. After he gives them the Word of God, what does it say? It says, and the people did what? Fear. Yeah. Before the Lord. When he came and gave them God's Word, do you know what happened? Holy hush fell. And he brought them God's Word. And they said, "Whew, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. He's given us God's Word." And there was a holy reverence. There was a holy respect. In fear of the Lord. We've been going the wrong way. We've been going the wrong road. We've been going the wrong direction. And He's brought us God's Word. The Bible says in verse 14, and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel and Joshua and the remnant of the people. The bringing of God's Word stirred up these people in their inner being. And their heart believed what Haggai had said. Had they not believed Haggai's message, had they scoffed, had they blew him off, they would have continued to miss out on God's plan and God's blessing in their lives. And it's the same way today. Let me tell you something right up front. I want you to know where I'm coming from, okay? Most of you that have been around here very long know this, but I'm going to repeat it. There's no prophets today, and there's nobody getting revelation from God today. Okay? Everything that we need as far as the Word of God, everything that we need to know, God's already communicated it to us, and He's put it in a book called the Bible. So I'm not up here saying, "Oh, I got this Word from the Lord." You need to hear that stuff. No, no, no. I'm holding the Word of the Lord. But here's the deal, okay? When I come to you, or anybody else comes to you with this book, with God's Word, in your handout, it says you are faced with a choice. And that is to either believe it to be true, or reject the Word of God. You have a choice. I'm either going to believe that what that book says is true, or I'm going to reject the Word of God. Now, let me just tell you this. You remember I told you about Paul, the Apostle Paul, and the gospel, the good news he gave us, and that Christ revealed it to him? Do you know what part of that good news is that Christ gave to us through Paul? Do you know what part of the good news is? Part of the good news is, doesn't sound like good news, part of the good news is that we're all sinners and that we've all offended a holy God and that we've all come up short of the glory of God. Now, how many of you know the verse, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God"? How many of us in here have sinned against God? All of us, the Bible says. Now, you may look at your coworker and say, "Well, I'm sure not as bad as her." You may look at a kid at school and say, "I'm not as bad as he is." You may look at somebody in the church right now and say, "I'm better than him." And you may be better than me. But you know, in your conduct. But guess what? Bottom line is, we're all going to stand before God one day. You're not going to be measured according to Dan Proctor. You won't be measured according to Larry Luffman or Rob Hall. You won't be measured according to your coworker or your friend at school. You will be measured according to God's written word. And when all of us are measured according to this as the measuring stick, guess what? We all come up short. It's kind of like this. If I said to Larry, "Hey, Larry, let's have a contest." Larry's pretty competitive. He'd say, "Okay, you name it, I'll do it." And I take him up to the balcony up there. And I say, "Now here's the contest. Both of us are going to climb on top of the glass up here on the balcony. And we're going to have a contest to see who can jump from that glass over here to the platform." Now, here's the thing. I may be able, and I think I probably could, jump a little bit further than him. But you know what the bottom line is? I may jump off that balcony a little bit further than him. But you know what? In the end, we're both going to be in the same shape. And that is, at the least, we're both going to fall on those pews and have a broken leg. And at the worst, we'll break our neck and kill ourselves, right? So in the end, even though I may jump a little bit further than him, I'm still going to come up short. You know what? You may be a little bit better than somebody at work. You may be a little bit better than that neighbor. You may be a little bit better than that person at school or college. Bottom line is, though, it's irrelevant. We've all come up short. That's part of the good news. You say, "Well, boy, that don't sound like good news to me." Well, here's the good news. The good news is we're all on an equal basis. We all need a Savior. We all need divine forgiveness of our sins. And the good news is Jesus Christ came and He made a full and a complete payment for our sins on the cross. He didn't just die for the sins of the world. You need to personalize it and come to the realization that He died for my sins. Can you save yourself by being good? Well, not according to the Bible. If you look up on the screen here says Ephesians 2, 8, 9, "For by grace are you saved through good works." No. How does it say unsaved? Through what? Simple faith. Not of yourselves. Has nothing to do with your works. It says it's the gift of God. And then what's the next three words? Not of works. Did you know the biggest lie Satan has going out there? The greatest lie Satan has going is the idea of all these religious systems out there. You know what a religious system is? A religious system is when they take people and they say to them, "If you do what we tell you to do, then maybe you'll go to heaven. But if you don't do what we tell you to do, you have no hope of heaven." And what they do is that's a control mechanism to keep their people in bondage to them. It's a control mechanism. It's to keep them under thumb, to keep them in the bondage of that religious system so they can continue to grow that religious system. I am not here to preach some religious system to you this morning. I am here to tell you on the authority of God's Word, Jesus Christ is your only hope. He is the only answer. What did the song say we sung earlier? Pastor Larry led us in. Jesus is the answer for the world today. He's the only answer. The answer is not the Baptist church. The answer is not the Catholic church or the Presbyterian church or the Lutheran church. The answer is not found in you performing enough religious rituals. The answer is to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And nobody can be saved and nobody can receive God's spiritual blessings in heaven until they believe what God's Word says. I want to show you a verse in your handout. Turn your handout over. And notice at the top of the back of your handout, it says that in whom, the whom is Christ. These people had trusted Christ. In whom ye also trusted. Now look at this. Here's the key word. After that, you what? They had to hear it. That was my first point. You heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that, what did they do? That's our second point. They believed and were sealed for the Holy Spirit of promise. Folks, listen. Do you believe God's word to be true? See, do you believe it or do you reject it? That's the question. See, in your handout, there's a verse. 1 Corinthians 1:21. It says, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Just telling people God's word to save them. How's God save people? Them that believe. You got to hear it. Then you got to make a choice. I'm either going to believe it or reject it. But then number three, we must obey God's word. Obey God's word. Now again, we go to Haggai. And when Haggai came with God's word, did the people say this? Did they say, yeah? Yeah, we believe you, Haggai. We believe you. We believe that we should be building the temple, like you say. We believe that to a large extent, probably a lot of our problems that we're going through is because we're not doing it. We believe right down the line exactly what you've said. And we might get around to it next year. Let's go back to building our houses. No, that's not what they did. Look down, let me show you what they did. Verse 12. It says, then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Josedek the high priest with all the remnant of the people. And what's the next word there? Obeyed. Obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet. Look down at verse number 14. Look down at the very end of that verse. It says, and they came. Now look at this. And what? And did work in the house of the Lord of hosts their God. Did these people obey God's word? Yes or no? Okay, question. Did they hear it? They heard it through Haggai. Okay, did they believe what he said to be true? Yes or no? Yes. But then what did they do? They obeyed and did what it said. But you know, let me apply this and I'm almost done. We're almost done already. There are many, many people today who have heard the gospel of Christ, that he died for them. They maybe even have intellectually believed the message. They believe in their head that Jesus Christ lived, that he died on the cross, and they believe all that intellectually. They may even believe that he rose from the dead, but they've never obeyed from the heart the gospel message. That is, they have never with their heart, that innermost part of you that only you and God see, they've never with their innermost being, their heart, believed on Christ and trusted Him. In your handout, it says, did you know that salvation from your sin is a heart issue? This is very important. It's a very important point. It's not an intellectual issue. It's not just a thinking thing. It is that, and you got to think and believe it up here first. But then it's a heart issue. I want you to look with me in your handout. Romans 10:10. For with the what? Come on, let's get together here. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Look at the next one, Romans 6:17. He says to these Christians, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. That's what you served. But there's been a change. You have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. They heard it. They believed it and they obeyed it. You can intellectually assent to all the elements of the gospel and still not be saved. I know. I did it for years. Hey, listen. For years. You're looking at a guy that believed in my head that Jesus Christ was a real man that existed on this earth. I believed in my head, intellectually, that He died on a cross. And you know, here's the thing. You can be like me, and you can believe based on the historical evidence and the card hold, the cold hard facts, and they're there. You can believe even that He rose from the dead. You can do all that and still not be saved. You say, why? Because in your handout it says, you must make a choice of your what? Heart to completely trust Christ as the only way to heaven. There was a man that came to the Apostle Paul, the guy who we said God gave the gospel to for today. And he said, Paul, what must I do to be saved? He fell down at his feet. He came running in. He fell down. The Bible says he fell down. What must I do to be saved? And you know how Paul answered him? Look on the screen. Look at it. And they said, say it with me, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now look, did it say believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Watch it. Did you know that it didn't say believe in, it said believe. Here's the thing. The devils believe in God and tremble. The devils know there's a God. The devils know that Christ lived and died and rose again. The devils believe in God and tremble. James 2:19. You can believe in something mentally, but yet not trust in it. Is that making any sense to you? You can believe in something mentally, but yet not trust in it. For instance, I'll give you an example. I took my boys to the county fair last week. And, you know, they give you those little wristbands and you can ride the rides for so much. And so we got them a wristband. And there's a roller coaster. And I want you to know that I believed in that roller coaster that it would stay on the tracks and do what it was supposed to do. I looked at it, I could reason it all out, and I believed in the roller coaster. But can I share something with you? I did not believe on the roller coaster. I told my kids, y'all got the wristbands, just have at it and knock yourself out. I'll watch and wave at you and I'll stay right here on the ground. And y'all just have fun. Now, I could explain to them why they should go on it and how safe it was. And I could believe in it, but I didn't believe on it. You know, I look at that pew right there. And I look at that pew, and I can believe in that pew to hold me up. I can look at it and say, yes, sirree, buddy. I can look at the construction. I can evaluate the wood. I can look at the legs, and I can say, yes, sirree, buddy. That pew, I believe in that pew to hold me up. Just stand right here and just look at it and say, I believe in it. But you know what? There's a big difference between believing in the pew to hold me up and what? Believing. Now I'm believing on the pew. Now I am putting my faith and trust in it to hold me up, and I'm fully resting in it to hold me up. Do you know there's a lot of people that look at Jesus Christ and say, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but there's never been a time in their life when they've believed on Jesus. When they have fully rested and trusted in Christ and Him alone to save them. Has there ever been a time in your life when you... That's what Paul means when he talks about obeying the gospel. Did you know the Bible talks about obeying the gospel? And that's what he means. It means you don't just mentally attest to the facts of it, but you fully trust in it to save you from your sins. That's what it means to obey the gospel. You fully trust in it. You don't just mentally attest to it. These people right here in Haggai, they heard it. They believed the message, and by faith they obeyed the message. Question, have you obeyed the gospel? Have you placed your trust completely in the finished work of Christ? There is no other way for you to find favor and acceptance before God. Christ has done it all. God has no other way of dealing with sin other than through the finished work of His Son. Now, I want you to remember that statement. God has no other way of dealing with sin other than the finished work of His Son. Have you fully trusted Christ? Have you from your heart obeyed Paul's gospel? But you know what happens the moment you do that? I want you to look in your handout. It says, the moment that you do, the moment that you trust Christ, God bestows unto you all the spiritual blessings of heaven that you will enjoy for all eternity. Now, can I ask you something? Where do we find those blessings in heaven? Now listen, where do I find all those spiritual blessings in heavenly places? Do I find them in the Baptist church? Yes or no? Do I find them in the waters of baptism? Do I find all those heavenly blessings in religious rituals? Religious performance? No. I want you to look at the front of your handout. Everybody go back to the front and go to the top. The very first verse I started with, I'm going to show you where to find them. Okay, look what it says. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where? Come on, a little bit louder. Where are they? I want you to write that in your handout. You find them all in Christ. That's where you find them. You got to hear it, believe it, and then obey the gospel. Fully trust Christ to save you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.